But it's also important to say that if we dismiss that proposition, we must also dismiss the proposition that the barbarians were nomads, that they were just kind of wandering around and accidentally kind of wandered into the Roman Empire. The archaeological record, insofar as we know it in detail, makes absolutely clear that the barbarian peoples were settled agriculturalists. When they moved, or when any large number of them moved, there had to be a reason for it. Sometimes those reasons are very difficult to discern. In a few instances, we can discern them pretty clearly. But we cannot simply assign to migratory habits the reasons for barbarian encounters with the Romans. Okay, what's at stake in this discussion? What matters? Well, as we saw in our last lecture, Diocletian and Constantine addressed themselves to the administration of the Roman Empire. In the western half of that empire, in the year 300, let's say, there were several dozen provinces under Roman administration. By 600, by 700, in the west, that Roman Empire was gone. And in its place was a series of barbarian kingdoms. That's what's at stake. That's what we have to explain. We go from provinces to kingdoms. And these barbarian peoples are going to get us from point A to point B. Now, what we need to do as we go along here in our discussion is assess the relative roles of the Romans and the barbarians in this process of transformation. I insisted in the previous lecture on the fact that the Romans played an important role in managing the transformation of their own world, not always with outcomes that they would have predicted or would have desired, but nonetheless that the Romans played a fairly important role in this long and complicated process. Okay. Now, I said a minute ago that if we were really going to try to understand the Roman encounter with the barbarians, we'd have to do case study upon case study upon case study. And we'd have to account for all the particular circumstances in each and every instance. My point being, obviously, there was no single overall phenomenon that just as a handy-dandy explanation works. But we don't have time for that, and I'm sure you don't have patience for that. So let's take one case study. Let's talk about a people whom we call the Visigoths. Now, we're fortunate in this instance. We know quite a bit about them. And the case also is exemplary in a number of ways. It shows a lot of the themes that I have been alluding to and a lot of themes that I want to develop a little bit more as we move along here. Okay, what we'll be trying to do then is use the Visigoths to understand something of the dynamics of the late Roman world, to understand something of the nature of relationships between the Romans and the barbarian peoples. Now, the people whom we later know as the Visigoths were a loose confederation of people. Was there such a thing as a Visigoth? The answer is almost certainly yes. But the people we know as the Visigoths were made up of a whole lot of peoples, not all of whom were Visigoths. I hope that's reasonably clear. All right. These people, the people whom we call the Visigoths, were living along the central Danube in the early 4th century. They were living on the north side of the river. They were living outside Roman territory. The Emperor Constantine made a treaty with them. Remember Constantine and his military reforms? Taking people, making people federates, giving them a foedus, making them federate peoples, allied peoples to Rome, you see, and assigning them responsibility for serving as kind of frontier guards as he developed his defense in depth strategy for the empire. So, as early as about 325, the Visigoths are drawn up into that system. They have a formal treaty with Rome, they are assigned military responsibility for a stretch of the Danube, and they're dealing not on equal terms, but on honorable terms with the Roman administration. Now, in the 370s, so 40, 50 years into this period of having a treaty with the Romans, some Visigoths began requesting permission from the Roman government to cross the Danube and to enter the Balkans. Why did they ask for permission? They were being pressed very hard on their backside by the Huns. Now, in this period, if there was a truly nomadic, migratory, wandering, raiding people, the Huns are it. These are people who had sort of first emerged in sources in the Roman world in the very early 3rd century BC, AD, I'm sorry, and who had begun marching from sort of Central Asia westward across the steppes. These were indeed migratory peoples. They are not a Germanic-speaking people, and they are not one of the peoples, actually, that will occupy our attention, particularly the rest of today or, indeed, even in future lectures. But the Huns were pressing at this moment on the Visigoths. The Visigoths requested permission from the Romans to cross the Danube and enter the frontier.